Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gruberti.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gruberti, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I am very excited about this show. For episode 57 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about how to unleash your personal brand in the digital age with our guest, Mark Schaefer. Mark is a globally recognized keynote speaker, educator, business consultant, and author who blogs at Grow, one of the top marketing blogs in the world. He specializes in marketing strategy and social media workshops. He's consulted a combination of startups and global brands such as Adidas, Johnson & Johnson, Dell, the U.S. Air Force, and the U.K. government, among others. He's also the author of 5 best-selling books such as The Content Code and Born to Blog. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Mark to the show.
Hey, another Mark. We're making our mark today, Mark.
Yes, we definitely are. The puns are everywhere today. I really love the dynamic of this episode. And I mentioned that you wrote best-selling books such as The Content Code and Born to Blog. Your latest book being Known.
Known. Oh, so happy about this book, Mark.
And I'm wondering if you could share with us why Known? Like, why did you decide to write this book?
Well, whenever I write a book, it solves a problem that I'm struggling with and my clients are struggling with. And I went through this period where people were coming to me and saying, well, Mark, I want to write a book someday. I want to be a speaker someday. I want to be invited to a board position someday. I want more doors to open in my career. I want to be known as an authority in my industry. And I kept giving everybody the same answer. I kept saying, well, to do these things, you have to be known. And I was talking with a friend of mine who's really kind of a business leader that I respect a lot. And I said, do you think anybody can be known? He said, I don't know. It just seems to me like it takes this special something. I don't know. So from that point on, that was about 4 years ago, I had that conversation. I have been like a dog with a tennis ball, just chasing this topic. I can't let it go. I became obsessed with figuring this out. Is there a process? Can anybody become known? So I studied, I did research, I read and consumed everything I possibly could. Then I started doing my own research. I interviewed almost 100 people from all around the world in many different fields to discover how did they become known in banking, education, construction, lots of different fields. And what I found, Mark, is that every person in every field around the world did the same 4 things, every time without exception. And that became really the pivotal idea behind the book.
Mark, thank you for sharing with us the whole idea for how you came up with the idea Known and you turned it into a book. And before we talk about growing the audience, getting people to see what we're all about, we have to figure out what exactly it is we want to be known for. So for people who haven't taken that first step yet, how can we discover what we want to be known for?
Man, that's such a great question. And that is the question I'm finding, Mark, as people read my book. That's where they're really spending a lot of their time. Because, and I want to emphasize, once you identify what you want to be known for, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's probably not going to be perfect, but it's more important to give it a shot and just begin. But you're right. This is a very important step. And so there are certain exercises in the book that help people focus on identifying what they want to be known for. And that might be different than what they identify as their passion. Sometimes a passion is a hobby. Sometimes it needs to stay a hobby. But what do you want to be known for? There's 2 exercises in the book that I found have been particularly useful, and I'll share those with your listeners today. One is, can you finish this sentence? only I. That is a really hard sentence to figure out, because you have to do some introspection and think about, you know, why do people like me? Why do they buy from me? Why do they hire me? Why do they keep coming back to me? And you might even ask some people, what's distinctive about me? What is my only I? Another exercise is to think about yourself on a stage 2 years from now. Just picture yourself. You're ready to go and give a speech, and the audience is buzzing. They can't wait to hear from you, and you are just bursting. You can't wait to tell them your message. What are you going to talk about? If you think about, if you can visualize where you want to be 2 years from now, then you kind of backward engineer from there and think, what do I need to do to get to that place? But there are about, at least 8 or 9 exercises in that one chapter to help people answer that question.
Mark, thank you for sharing with us those really great activities. And you got me really thinking about that one where you think, okay, 2 years from now, I'm on this stage. I'm really excited. Mm-hmm. What am I going to talk about? And you do mm-hmm. the whole reverse engineer. How did I get on the stage? What did I have to do? But the journey to getting known, it just feels long and it's filled with many challenges. And persistence seems to be a consistent trait to reaching that point where that visualization of being on the stage becomes real. So how do we stay persistent so we can eventually unleash our personal brands in this digital age?
Well, first I want to thank you, because you've obviously really done your homework. And I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. Because this idea of persistence and consistency is definitely a theme in my book. And there are some fundamental things, I think, that help people be consistent, to help them keep going even when they're feeling tired or they're feeling down. And Mark, when I was interviewing these people for the book, I kept hearing this pattern, this phrase over and over again. People said, you know, what really keeps me going is I know I'm having a positive impact on people. And I kept hearing that. I thought, you know what? That just can't be a coincidence. And so I started to connect the dots. There is a great book called Grit by Angela Duckworth that talks about what makes people grittier, more persistent than other people. And she kind of laid out this psychological framework. And one of the foundations of that framework is purpose. And then it made perfect sense to me that's why I kept hearing this from these people. And, you know, for me, I know my books are having an impact on people. Right before we started this podcast, I was opening the mail from today. I got a thank you card from somebody who was thanking me for writing the book. And that fuels my purpose. To me, that's better than money. It's just like, I'm creating change in the world. I'm changing people's lives. I know that because they're telling me. And, you know, if you're just in it for the money, I'm not sure you're going to be able to sustain it. Sometimes you know your purpose from the beginning. Sometimes it follows you. It only becomes apparent after you get into it for a while. But that's the difference, Mark, I think, in people who can really keep it going, like you. I mean, your energy, your enthusiasm, your consistency, I mean, you're driven. Your fans can tell that, and you're going to make it.
Mark, thank you for sharing those insights on how it can stay persistent during the journey that we go through in order to reach that part of ourselves where we're known and we're accomplishing our dreams. And part of that is attracting that massive audience with content. And content has been a really strong focus of your brand, with obviously Content Code, your book Known, and all the content that you produce. So how can we attract massive audiences to our content?
Well, I think that it takes focus and it takes discipline. And by focus, I mean you can't be chasing every shiny red ball. You need to pick one source of content and focus on that and do it well. So you're focused on your podcast. Me, I was focused on my blog. Now I have a podcast too, but I had blogged for 5 years before I started that podcast. By devoting that time to that blog, I built an audience. I built a fantastic, loyal, engaged audience, and I was able to then move that audience also to my podcast. So you don't have to think about being everywhere all the time. You need to focus on one kind of content that, and I think the first question to ask is, what brings me joy? Would I like being on videos? Would I like doing a podcast? Would I like writing? Is that my type of thing? Because if you're not joyful, if you're not having fun, you're going to quit. And that's the biggest problem. We don't want people to quit too soon. We want to really, take that chance and go for it. The other piece that I think was part of your question is this idea of making it an actionable audience. You know, a social media audience are weak relational links. If you get a like or a follow, that doesn't mean they're going to buy something from you someday. You need – it's important. I don't mean to say a social media audience isn't important. It is, because it opens new doors that you might never have met these people before. But you need to engage with them. You need to create content consistently so they build that emotional connection to you over time. And those are the things that create this large and, most importantly, actionable audience.
Mark, thank you for sharing with us how we can attract those massive audiences to our content. And one of the things that I feel like we all learn at different stages of the game is that no matter how large of an audience you have, this goes for the beginner or even one of these people who gets like millions of monthly visitors, you can only do so much on your own. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to get people to share your content. So I'm wondering, how can we get more people in our audiences to share the content that we produce?
That's a very keen insight. And really, that's the whole idea behind my content code book. The reason I wrote that book, and it really is very relevant to building your brand, as you say, is that, you know, content today isn't enough. Content no longer is a novelty. There is lots of competition out there. And maybe 3 years ago or 4 years ago, content was the finish line. Just creating content might be enough to attract that audience because that made you different. Today, that's not the case. Creating content isn't the finish line, it's the starting line. And the value of your content is zero unless people see it and share it. So we do need to figure out this discipline. How do we get people to see and share our content? And there are lots of different strategies to do that. But I guess if I had to pick just one or two, one would be to not just put the content out there and expect it to move. You need to show up. You need to engage with your audience. And whenever they share your content, acknowledge that, reward that, thank them. The other key idea is at some point, it really helps connecting to people in the industry who can help you. And I'm talking about these influencers. When you don't have a large audience and you're building a large audience, it's helpful to kind of borrow the audience of another person. And I'm not saying just show up out of the blue and say, hey, I want you to do me a favor. I'm talking about providing value to these influencers, to befriend them, to get on their radar so that at some point you can say, you know, I've been working so hard on this blog post, been working so hard on this podcast or whatever your content is. Do you think you could share this for me? And that is a big ignition switch in a lot of cases.
And we'll definitely be diving into building those relationships with influencers very soon. And you mentioned your content code book earlier. I mean, I really love that book. I read the audio book like a year ago. I read the Kindle book.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I read the Kindle book just like a week or two ago, just to brush up. I mean, that is the book that I constantly go to. And one of the things you said in it is, and this really blew me away, that the eventual winners are the content creators with the deepest pockets.
Well, that's true if you don't use the tips in my book. and what, because I hate that. I don't want the world to be that way. But think about this as an analogy. I think this is a good way to frame this to see what's happening in our world today. Okay, let's think about when television first started. Now, I wasn't there when television first started, but I saw this documentary one time. And when television channels first started, it was all local people doing the programming. It was like some local, you know, person doing a cooking show, and someone doing a painting show, and someone else was doing woodworking. And it was all local advertisers, the pizza place and the car repair place. And as television grew and grew and grew and grew and grew in popularity, the content became more sophisticated too. The advertising dollars got so high, there weren't any more local advertisers, you know, on these networks. There weren't any more local content producers. And that's what's happening on social media now. 5 years ago, it was like the beginning of TV. Anybody who started a blog was going to, you know, do okay, because they were the local content producers and people were insatiable. They wanted more information. They wanted more content. They wanted more blogs and videos and podcasts. And now the entry barrier to creating content is zero. You can create a blog for free. You can create a video on YouTube for free. And so there's so much content today that if we're not smart about it, the same thing is going to happen to the social web that's happened to TV. Even Facebook has said, we're running out of places to put our ads. What's that going to mean, Mark? The ads are going to increase in price, just like what happened in television. So we're repeating history all over again. So what the content code book is, okay, look, even if you don't have deep pockets, here's how you maneuver. Here are six different strategies you can use, six things you need to know in this very busy world, in this information dense world. I want people like me and you to be able to get our content to break through, and I'm never going to stop working on that. And that's what the content code book is all about.
And I find it interesting that you mentioned the Facebook ad prices. They seem to be going up because obviously they're in higher demand and people may be thinking, well, that's not going to happen for a long time. But as you were talking about Facebook ads, I was thinking something similar to the effect of Google AdWords, which seemed to have that similar status Facebook ads had, where like it was the go-to thing, but then it got more expensive. So this is definitely a trend that I've been seeing a lot lately in the content marketing landscape.
Absolutely. That's a symptom of this world I called this term I characterized as content shock, is that, you know, content is no longer a novelty. And in certain niches, the world is just overwhelmed with content. And to compete today, you've got to find a new way to maneuver. You've got to find a new angle. You've got to find a new place. You've got to find a new tone to your content, or something to make you stand out. And that's something I address in the known book as well. That it's the same for companies. It's the same for individuals. You know, I gave one of the examples in the book is a food blogger. How many food bloggers are there in the world? Millions of food bloggers. But how did this young lady stand out? She made recipes that are famous in the movies, and she dressed up like the characters from the movies to make her recipes. Now, that's different, but she loves it. She has fun. She has joy doing these cooking shows, and now it's become her full-time career. She's got sponsors for these videos. So even in a very, very crowded market like food, you can still stand out.
Mark, thank you for sharing that example. And doing like little things like that can really make a big difference, like honing in on a very specific niche. And one of the examples that you share in your book Known is Antonio Centeno, who...
Oh, one of my favorites.
He created for people who don't know, 200 videos in 200 days, and then another 1,000 after that. I mean, people are like, oh, well, I mean, one video per week. Like, gosh, I gotta, like, this is so challenging. 200 videos in 200 days. So how can we reach that level of consistency and frequency with our own content production?
Well, it, you know, I don't think it has to be that frenetic. That can, you know, that I don't think you need to have the volume that Antonio had. It has to be right for you, for your lifestyle. It has to be right for your market. The reason Antonio did that, and the reason it's so inspirational to me, is because he didn't really know anything about video. He was kind of afraid of video. He said, you know, I've got to learn this because I see an opportunity here. And he challenged himself and he said, I'm going to do 200 videos in 200 days, not because he was driven to create that much content, but he just wanted to teach himself. He was pushing himself to learn it. And he said, you know, he said, I was terrible at first, but by number 200, I was pretty good. And he continues to push himself to be even better. And I think that's the key. You know, I do a podcast. My podcast is only every other week. And I've had lots of people say, oh, we'd love to have it, you know, every week. But that doesn't fit my lifestyle. I'm a busy person. I travel all the time. I think it would be difficult for me to do a podcast every week. And here's the thing, Mark. If I wasn't having fun doing it, my audience would be able to tell. And that's when you start to lose. So you've always got to have that enthusiasm. You've got to have that joy. And it's not easy all the time, but you got to keep going and you got to be focused on why you're doing it, and what's your purpose, what's your vision, where you're going to be 2 years from now, and keep on pushing for in it with a content frequency that feels right for you.
And I really love the idea of like, for instance, as we go back to Antonio, who created 200 videos in 200 days, you don't necessarily have to create at that pace. I mean, if you want to at that pace, like, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be the next case study for, like, creating that much content in that much time. But if you're better off, like Mark, doing every other week for the podcast, I mean, that's totally fine as long as you're able to bring that joy. And there's one thing that I did promise Breakthrough Success listeners just a little earlier in the episode, and as we were going to go back into the relationships. So with that in mind, how do we build relationships that help us move to the next level?
Well, you know, nobody can really do it on their own anymore. I mean, it's very, very difficult. And certainly as I was coming up in the business world, I had help all along the way. And, you know, I'm at a great place in my life now where it's time to send the elevator back down. I really have a soft spot for helping young people, young entrepreneurs, and especially students. And I think there's a lot of people in our industry like that. And I think the real key is that you have to view the leaders in your industry. You have to force yourself to see that these are real people. Sometimes they're doing great. Sometimes they're suffering. A lot of times you may not know they're suffering or how busy they are or how stressed they are. They have families. They might have children. They might have illnesses. There's lots of stresses and lots of things going on in their lives, just like you. We're all equal in our human condition. And just because someone has made it in the industry doesn't mean they're wearing some sort of superhero cape. So you've got to be aware that these are people. But if you try to reach out to them in a consistent way, in a friendly way, in a helpful way, I'll give you a really cool example. My first book was called The Tao of Twitter. It became a great selling book on Twitter, the best-selling book on Twitter. And when I wrote the first edition of this book, this artist wrote me a note and he said, I love this book so much. Just to thank you for writing this book, I'm doing some art that you can use as your background image on Facebook. I noticed that your background image on Facebook kind of sucks. I'm going to create something related to your book that you can put on this page. And I was so moved by that. That really got my attention. And so we became friends, and we followed each other, and we kind of helped each other. We began to collaborate. And now I just came out with a new edition of the Twitter book. It's the fourth edition. He did the cover.
Wow.
I paid him to do the cover of the book. And it all started out with one helpful gesture. I mean, if he had sent me a tweet, you know, I probably would have noticed, but I'm not sure I would have remembered. If he would have just even sent me an email, you know, that's nice. And maybe I'll even, you know, read it, reread it, show it to my wife or something if it's nice. But to make a gesture like that, I mean, that is really a symbol that you're special. You did something special for me. I'm going to do something special for you. And, you know, that makes a big impact on people. That's how you make friends.
Mark, thank you for sharing with us how we can build those relationships that help us to move to the next level and grow our brands. And you're in a position right now where you've contributed a lot to the content marketing space. You've some people, like a lot of content marketing enthusiasts, really admire you for what you've been able to do. And throughout your whole journey to reach where you currently are now, I'm wondering if you could share one big challenge that you faced and a powerful lesson that you learned during that challenge.
My biggest challenge, Mark, was when I was just starting out. I've been blogging now for 9 years. I'm actually in, you know, I guess I'm in my 10th year of blogging. My 10th anniversary will be coming up soon, I suppose, next year. And when I was just starting out, it was hard to break through. It was hard to make those relationships. And, you know, I was stumbling around and fumbling around, and I thought I was creating content as good as anybody else, but I couldn't get anyone interested in my book idea, which was The Tale of Twitter. The publishing houses, they said, you know, no, we want a big book on Twitter. I wanted to write a little book on Twitter that people could read in one plane flight and kind of get it. So I wasn't picked by the publisher, so I picked myself. I self-published the book. I couldn't get people to hire me as a speaker. I started my own event. I started my own conference, and I spoke at my own conference. If people wouldn't hire me. And the other thing I did is I made it a real priority to invite other people who were just starting out. I wanted to encourage them and coach them and make sure they had a chance to be a speaker too, because we were all kind of in the same boat together. So the amazing thing today is that, you know, you don't have to wait to be picked by somebody. We have this, you know, if you've got a keyboard or a smartphone and a Wi-Fi connection, you can create content. You can have accountability for your own influence, your own power in the world. And I don't know where I would be. I was just the right person at the right time with social media. And eventually I stuck with it. My blog caught on. That led to books, that led to speaking, that led to more consulting opportunities. But and I appreciate your very kind words about, you know, how people love my content today. But look, everybody starts at the bottom. Nobody is born an expert. And when I started blogging, I didn't know anything about blogging. 5 years later, I wrote a book on blogging. And that's how it works. So you don't have to be an expert. You don't need to have all the answers, but you do need to take your best shot and start.
Mark, thank you for sharing with us that big challenge you faced and the powerful lesson that you learned during that challenge. And one of the questions I love to ask as the true bookworm I am, other than the book Grit, which we already mentioned, what are three great books that you can think of that would be great for Breakthrough Success listeners?
Well, one book that I always recommend, it absolutely has a very special place in my heart, is this book, Innovation and Entrepreneurship by Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker was a very, very famous author and business management consultant. He's known as the father of the practice of management. And when I was young, I had the amazing opportunity to study under him. He was actually my teacher. And he wrote this book, Mark, in 1984. And he actually predicted the gig economy. He predicted everything that's happening today. And in this little book, he lays out a framework for constant innovation, continuous innovation, how to really embed innovation in our lives and in an organization. So I absolutely love that book. Another book that I love, which is a more modern book, it just came out about a year or so ago, is The Inevitable by Kevin Kelly. And this is a book that I reference also in the Known book. And what Kevin does in this book is he kind of looks forward into what's all this technology going to mean? How's it going to come together and change our lives in a way that he thinks is inevitable? And whether you're just interested in that or whether you want to start thinking about what this is going to mean to our businesses, it's a very detailed and profound book. And I love that book. Another book that came out last year that I liked a lot is called Small Data, and by Martin Lindstrom. And the thing I love about this book, it kind of emphasizes a theme that I've been passionate about, that we can't just look at our social media dashboards or charts or statistics and run our businesses this way. That is just lazy marketers. We can't just look at averages and pie charts. We have to dig deeper. We can't just look at the big data. We have to look at the small data. We have to look at the small conversations that are happening that really are going to give us insights into changing our businesses in big ways. And those are three books that I that mean a lot to me, and I think your listeners would enjoy as well.
Mark, thank you for sharing those three great books with us. And before I give you the spotlight, or additional spotlight, and say basically like where we can find you on the web, I've asked you a lot of questions throughout this episode, and I'm wondering, what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Oh, wow. Beautiful question. Beautiful question. You know, I guess a question I ask myself a lot is, am I relevant? What do I need to do to remain relevant? I've had a pattern in my life where I've sort of reinvented myself about every 5 years. I started out as a journalist. I worked in corporate communications. Then I got into sales. My ultimate goal was to get into marketing. I then got into the digital space. I got into training and teaching and writing and consulting. So I've been kind of in this constant pattern of reinvention. And I think we always need to be questioning what we do and maybe more importantly, what we think we know. The world is changing so fast. And, you know, every few months, maybe once a quarter, I try to take a little time and just be quiet, get out of the daily hurricane of business and reflect on, you know, what's going on, where do I need to be, how do I need to change to be great for my customers today and in the future. And, you know, specifically if you're in the marketing business, you know, we're really on the cusp of some cataclysmic changes. There's going to be more change in the next 2 years than we've probably seen in the last 20. And so we need to be thinking about that and reading about that and talking about it and learning and reflecting on what it's going to mean for us.
Mark, thank you for sharing with us that powerful question. And I am curious, based on that question you ask yourself, do you see the next phases of your reinvention, or are you like staying where you are now with some innovation?
Well, I certainly am growing and changing. I always am. I would say right now, I mean, I've been kind of getting a little itchy. Like, is it reinvention time? But the thing that I've sort of moved into are these new opportunities presented to me by this new book that I wrote. And this whole idea, I hate the word personal branding, but if I could come up with a word better than that, that people would recognize, I would use it. But I haven't been able to do that yet. But this idea of having an effective presence on the web, a presence good enough to help you get your job done, help you achieve your goals. I'm so convinced this is so important for people to do today. It's the only sustainable competitive advantage we have today. People don't care where you went to college. They don't care what car you drive. They don't know, they don't care how much money you make. But they are going to care if you're known or not. And if you're known compared to someone who isn't, you're going to have an advantage. And so I found that I'm really good at this. I'm really good at helping people and helping companies elevate their brands like this. And so that's kind of become a new challenge for me. It's re-energized me. It's not a big reinvention. But it's, you know, a new angle for me that I'm enjoying very, very much.
Mark, thank you for sharing those insights on how you go into the reinvention process. And I mean, you've shared a lot of great insights throughout this episode. And I greatly appreciate the time you spent with us today. And for Breakthrough Success listeners who want to learn more, where can we find you on the web?
Well, first, Mark, thank you so much for having me on your great show. You do such an amazing job. And again, I really appreciate your preparation and the care you put into your questions. It really made it a great show, and I have enjoyed it. And it's easy to find me. I'm at businessesgrow.com. I figured no one could spell Schaefer. So Businesses Grow is a lot easier to remember, and you can find my blog, my podcast, my books, and lots of other cool resources there that can help businesses and entrepreneurs of every size.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, if you want links to books, to Mark's sites where you can find him, or anything else from this episode, you can get the show notes at markgubberti.com/E57. Mark, it was a pleasure to have you and to see your mark on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Thank you. We're making marks together, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgubberti.com/iTunes or markgubberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. Potential today.
Want me to mention you in a future episode? All you have to do is leave a quick review for my podcast on iTunes and email me, mark@markgubberti.com. I'll then mention you and your website in a future episode. You can leave that review by heading over to markgubberti.com/iTunes.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Gubberti. For more insights, head on over to markgubberti.com.